Good day, and welcome to the Credit Bank of Moscow first quarter 2017 financial and business results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Yelena Fanashina. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Many thanks for joining us today for a discussion of first quarter 2017 financial and business results of Credit Bank of Moscow. Our traditional team on the call today is represented by Vladimir Chuber, our CEO, and Eric de Beauchamp, Senior Vice President, and also myself, Elena Finashna, responsible for international business and investor relations. Vladimir will start the presentation from discussion of key financial and business results of the first quarter this year, and Eric will provide further details of financial performance of the bank for the reporting period. Q&A session will follow afterwards, and we will be happy to answer all your questions to the management. Now I would like to turn the floor over to Vladimir.
Thank you, Yelena. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Traditionally, opening our discussion with the macroeconomic overview, I would like to make a few remarks regarding general trends which we observe in the market and which we bear in mind when planning our business development going forward. Having returned to growth in the end of 2016, Russian economy is still on positive trend in the first quarter of 2017, even though the growth rates are relatively modest. We expect that recovery rates might gain traction in the next couple of years, supported by stronger household consumption and investments, provided that external factors are supportive as well. Even in the recent couple of years when Russian economy was struggling, there were sectors which were rather resistant to negative trends, and thus even benefiting to a certain extent from the market situation. We took a strategic decision at that time to focus on those sectors and managed to strengthen our market position and successfully weather through the economic turbulence. Now, as the economic conditions are improving, industrial production has turned to growth, and we see that consumer demand prospects are more optimistic. We see even more opportunities for the bank to expand further and to contribute to the economic growth. Now let's move to discussion of CBM financial results, which are highlighted on slide number 2. First quarter of 2017 was another quarter of the core business growth and quality metrics improvement. Profit almost tripled as compared with a similar period of the last year, reaching 4.6 billion rubles. Net interest income showed a 14% growth versus first quarter of last year and reached 10.4 billion rubles. Net fee and commission gained 47.6% and arrived at 3.7 billion rubles, evidencing the success of our efforts to maximize this particular source of income. Net interest margin of 3% remained at the level of first quarter 2016, constrained by expansion of highly liquid, low-risk assets on the balance sheet in line with our with the bank's strategy. At the same time, net interest margin on average risk-weighted assets has improved for the same period of time from 3.9% to 4.3%, evidencing more efficient use of funding sources and improvement of the risk-adjusted returns. Return on average equity improved significantly from 7% for the first quarter of last year to 17.4% for the first quarter of this year, supported by strong income generation and traditionally high operating efficiency with a cost-to-income ratio of 26%. Gross loans to customers increased by 2.6% for the first 3 months of 2017, driven by expansion of the corporate loan book. Qualitative business expansion is the cornerstone of our strategy, and the asset quality indicators evidence that CBM delivers strong results in following this strategic target. For the reporting period, NPL ratio decreased from 2.3% to 1.9%, while cost of risk further decreased from 4.6% to 2.9%. Basel III total capital adequacy ratio strengthened for the first 3 months of 2017 as a result of successful $600 million T2 euro bonds placement by the bank in April of this year, and reflection thereof in the capital as of the reporting date. Funds raised via new euro bond issuance were partly used to repurchase existing euro bonds maturing in the next year, which were partly amortized in the capital calculation. These transactions resulted in total capital adequacy ratio increasing from 14.7% to 19%, while Tier 1 capital ratio increased from 9.4% to 10.7% in the reporting period as a result of income capitalization. Now let's move to business highlights on the next slide, slide number 3. Key driver of the loan book growth was corporate loan book expansion by 3.7%, while reduction of retail loans by 3.4% partially offset the total loan book growth level. During the reporting period, we focused on meeting higher demand for funding from our large customers from target economic sectors. Sectoral strategy remains unchanged, with the key industries presented by oil and chemicals, property rentals, financial and food and farm products, as per the pie chart on this slide. The loan book is well diversified, with each industry forming below 25% of total exposure to corporate clients. We remain cautious on the retail business side so far, with the retail loan book slightly decreasing, which resulted in retail business part of the loan book shrinking to 14% of total loans. When it comes to retail business, cash loans and mortgages are still a priority for us, forming 73% and 22% of gross retail loan book respectively. Now I would like to pass the floor to Eric for further comments on the bank's financial results. Eric, please go on.
Thank you, Vladimir, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to draw your attention on slide number 4 with a detailed overview of the bank's income and expenses dynamics. The total operating income grew by 15% year-on-year from 12.4 billion rubles for the first quarter of 2016 to 14.3 billion rubles in the first quarter of 2017. The major part, 72% of the operating income, is represented by net interest income, which grew by 14% year-on-year to 10.4 billion rubles. This growth of operating income was also supported by a significant increase of the net fee and commission income. The net interest margin remains under pressure, as the bank still maintaining a significant part of its assets in low-risk, highly liquid instruments. A deeper analysis of the interest margin relatively to the average risk-weighted assets shows a 4.3 level, which is in line with the Russian market standard for universal banks operating mainly on the corporate loan segment. The net fee and commission income grew by 48% year-on-year to 3.7 billion rubles, or roughly 26% of the total operating income. The main source of fee and commission income were represented by guarantee and letter of credits, currency exchange operations, and commissions on plastic cards. On the upper right diagram, operating expenses showed a moderate 13% increase year-on-year. The bank still keeping operating expenses under control, with a cost-to-income ratio of 26% for the reporting period. Now I suggest turning to slide number 5 with a breakdown of total assets. Total assets as at the end of March 2017 were represented by the loan portfolio with a 42% share, showing an increase of 3 percentage points in comparison to December 2016, by liquid assets with a 56% share, including cash and cash equivalents due from credit institution and the securities portfolio. The year-to-date decrease of total assets by 5%, down to 1.5 trillion rubles, was mostly due to a temporary slowdown of our activity on the repo market, and thus bring to a decrease of our liquidity buffer. The bank's primary focus remained on asset quality, therefore the accumulated liquidity cushion was placed in highly liquid low-risk instruments, such as top quality securities, 89% of which are included in the CBR Lombard list. Now let's move to the slide number 6 on the loan portfolio quality. As described in the upper left diagram, loan portfolio coverage by impairment allowance was stable since the beginning of the year 2017, with a level of 6.1% at the end of March. The impairment allowance provides coverage of NPLs of 325%, which is shown on the upper right diagram. This ratio increased significantly after the bank restructured two corporate loans during the fourth quarter of 2016. NPL ratio decreased down to 1.9%, confirming the downward trend observed since the beginning of 2016. The cost of risk decreased from 4.6% for the full year 2016 to 2.9% at the end of March 2017, confirming an improvement of asset quality in the most recent loan vintages. The related party lending is still low, representing 3.4% of the total gross loan book at the end of March 2017. Now I suggest turning to slide number 7 with more details on corporate and retail loan portfolio metrics. On the backdrop of moderate growth of corporate loan book on the left, qualitative indicators keep showing a positive trend in the reporting period. NPL ratio down to 0.9% and cost of risk down to 2.5%. The NPL coverage ratio on the corporate loan book increased significantly up to 657%, as previously explained. The retail loan book NPL reached 7.9% on the backdrop of loan portfolio reduction to 97 billion rubles. The cost of risk showed a decreasing trend, reaching 5.1% level, to be compared to a 6.5% figure at the end of 2016. The next slide, number 8, illustrates the funding structure of the bank. Total liabilities decreased by 6% during the first quarter of 2017 to 1.4 trillion rubles. Customer accounts represented the main source of funding with a 55% share in total liabilities and showing a 10% growth during the first quarter of 2017. The funding from CBR and the deposit by credit institutions decreased during the reporting period and represented a 35% share in total liabilities, the bulk of this amount being linked with repo transactions. The bond repayment schedule is well balanced, with the next international debt repayments being due in 2018. Now let's proceed to the final slide, number 9, on the bank's capital. The bank reinforced its capital position with the following capital adequacy ratio levels. The IFRS Basel III total CAR amounted to 19% and Tier 1 capital ratio to 10.7% at the end of March 2017. As of 1st of May 2017, the capital adequacy ratio under Russian accounting standards were far above regulatory minimum, with N10 ratio of 14.9% and N11 and N12 ratios of 7.3%. These were the main highlights of the bank's financial and business results for the first quarter of 2017. Thank you very much for your attention. Now let's proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Stefan Hunkind from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for the presentation. Two quick questions, if I may. The first one on the cost of risk. Would it be possible to know what the cost of risk will be, excluding the negative impact of IFRS 9 at Q1 17? And secondly, would it be possible to get the impaired loan ratio, if possible, at Q1 17? Thank you.
Okay, so starting from the end, so the impaired ratio is 7% at the end of March, 7%. And regarding your first question on IFRS 9, so IFRS 9 will be implemented only from beginning of next year, so from the first quarter 2018. So as of today, you cannot see, let's say, the full impact. But to be, let's say, on the safe side, we decided even back from 2016 to start creating, let's say, additional provision, so-called management provision on some customers, in order to avoid, let's say, a jump in provisioning during the first quarter of 2018. So to be implemented, let's say, end of this year.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Andrew Keeley from Sherber Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My first question is on your fee income. I mean, it was an extremely strong first quarter. I'm wondering whether you think this kind of year-on-year growth is sustainable kind of through the rest of this year. And I noticed that there was very strong growth in the currency exchange and brokerage segment. So could you perhaps give us a little bit of color about what this includes and, you know, is this a fairly new area and what's changed? Thank you.
Yeah, so in fact, as we mentioned previously, definitely the fee and commission income is very crucial for us. I mean, to maintain at least between 25% and 30% of the total net income to diversify, let's say, source of revenues. Yes, you notice that definitely during the first quarter we had, let's say, the second biggest source of fee and commission income was due to currency exchange operations. I would say we had, let's say, definitely additional, let's say, operation from corporate customer on this activity, coupled, let's say, with the launch of MKB Exchange, which is, let's say, a remote platform used by our corporate customers to make, let's say, online currency exchange operations. So this one, let's say, this amount is high for the first quarter, but let's say it's more a kind of seasonal effect. So we don't expect that this type of commission will be so high in the next quarters. But at least the target remains to maintain 25% to 30% of total revenues in net and fee and commission revenues.
Okay, thank you. My second question is on your loan growth outlook. Obviously, the first quarter you had pretty strong growth on the corporate side and similar kind of level of contraction on the retail side. I'm just wondering, I mean, generally, what your kind of growth outlook is for corporate and retail for this year. I mean, do you see? It's clearly, you sound more optimistic on the outlook for the corporate sector. I'm wondering whether this is kind of across all of the kind of main segments in which you operate, or are there certain segments in particular where you see more potential for growth? And, you know, is it not the case that you're not really seeing that corporates are kind of still deferring demand in the expectation of interest rates coming down more strongly perhaps in the second half of the year? And I guess on the retail side, I'm interested in why you're still so kind of cautious on this space. You know, do you think that, you know, the process of kind of household deleveraging is perhaps needs to kind of go further, that the consumer is still not really in a very good shape for you to kind of start accelerating lending in this segment? Thank you.
Yes, so starting with retail, so as you saw in the figure, so there is a very good and positive trend on the cost of risk. So now we see, let's say, that the new vintages are better than in the previous year. As you can see also, if you look at the split per product, so the only product we have been pushing on are mortgages, because, I mean, low-risk products with a very good profile of customer risk. But still, no, I mean, we are not, let's say, in a position to push more on retail. We want to get, let's say, confirmation of this trend and of reinforcement of asset quality, and then we don't exclude, I mean, to start increasing a retail exposure again.
I can also comment, Vladimir. We still feel, let's say, some pain from 13-14 fountain of new loans and all the troubles we had from this good time. So, as I said in a couple of the previous calls, we are now much more really like to increase our activity in retail lending. So we started to do it from the beginning of May. It's not something dramatical or something very very big increase, but honestly speaking, maybe from month to month we'll see what will be the impact and what will be the vintages of the very new generation. So, and maybe we can just make more and more activity in this area.
Yes, and on corporate, so corporate has been the driver of loan book growth, I mean, in 2016-15. So we see, let's say, improvement, let's say, in the economic environment, which is a good sign. We anticipate for this year, let's say, a corporate loan growth a little bit higher than 2016, and definitely, let's say, more dynamic than the average for the market.
Thank you. Are there any particular segments where you're kind of most positive, you see the strongest growth potential?
This kind of the segments we you see now on the top in our pie chart. So the big sector, oil and chemicals, so the mainly export companies, this is number one. Of course, now we are not so positive as we for example, let's say 3 months ago in this sector because some of these guys came to the market, I mean to the Eurobond market, so this market took some part of the, let's say, demand. And in terms of other sectors, food, farm, and actually retailers, they are really diversified by many sectors in our different industries. But at the same time, we see also some kind of recovery. And the first quarter of this year was, as usual, actually, of course, not so good because you know that in Russia there is a big holidays and the same second quarter. But in comparison with the previous years, we see that there is a positive signal. So I think that also can be some demand from this area.
Okay. Thanks very much. Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Alan Wimburn from Société Générale. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the call. Following on from that, I think you sort of gave indications that sort of you thought the corporate loan book could grow by about sort of 15% this year. You know, having seen sort of Q1, and obviously there are pluses and minuses in terms of industry demand. But I mean, is that still a sort of ballpark figure of what you think you can achieve this year? That would be interesting. Do you think things are getting better from when you were talking to us in March, or are they about the same? That would be interesting. Secondly, I think you gave some guidance on margins. Talking about margins being above 3% for 2017, and obviously you've made an improvement from where you were in Q4. Does that guidance remain the same? And could you possibly help us understand the impact of the number of capital market operations that you've made across the first part of the year, and particularly the latest AT1. And whether how we should think of that in terms of your ability to, does the margin go down? Does the margin go up? I mean, how should we think about that in terms of the overall funding cost of the bank going forward? That would be that would also be helpful. And I guess, do you see? I think you've talked in the past about the competition levels in corporate being very tough, and the state banks being your main competitors, and that has that changed at all? Do you think there's any? Is it simply that there's a bit more demand? Is there any change in the competitive environment? Is it better? Is it worse? That would also be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so regarding the loan book growth for this year, so unfortunately, I mean, we have to be quite accurate with all the forward statements that we do on the bank, as you can imagine, but definitely the figure we announced, I mean, during the last call that you were just mentioning, as of today, I mean, we still are on the same pace of growth, and we definitely believe we can do it. Once again, I mean, the environment is positive. We see quite dynamic demand from a corporate customer. So yes, I mean, the logo should be in line with our previous statements. Regarding the NIM, so you see that, so during the first quarter, so we had, let's say, an increase of, let's say, the loan book in the total assets. But as I was just mentioning during the presentation, that we have also, I mean, the liquidity buffer puts pressure on the margin. That's also why we did, let's say, the calculation of the risk-weighted assets to show that if you take, let's say, the loan book separately without, let's say, the repo and transaction effect and the, let's say, the cost for the liquidity buffer, then we work with a 4.3% margin, which is a very good figure, in fact, comparison with other banks operating in the, mainly, let's say, with corporate customers. Of course, the competition remains tough. We have, let's say, we see especially the state-owned banks putting pressure on credit rates on the market. But the idea is to continue to focus on the sector that which are benefiting from ruble devaluation, from the sanctions, so many of the exporters. And it's also a reason why, I mean, we need also dollar funding, and let's say more long-term dollar funding. Regarding the AT1 and the pressure on margin, just want to point out that AT1 is capital, so definitely it has a cost, but we should also, let's say, consider it as additional capital for the bank and compare it with the cost of equity. And let's say if you look from this standpoint, the transaction was successful, and let's say the level of rate is also really good for us, for the bank.
Okay, but does the 3% margin minimum still hold true? I mean, I know it's capital, but nevertheless, there's an ongoing cost, and as I understand it, you're going to account for it within the sort of the net interest income lines. So, just in terms of, you know, is it it's an extra cost, but you feel that it's worth, it's clearly from a capital perspective, one that was worth taking. But does your guidance change as a result of it? That was my question, really.
The guidance is the same, so we didn't change it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Olga Nadolva, BCS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you very much for the call. Could you please give us some color on the increase of your impaired not past due portfolio, which seems to have expanded quite substantially, and also for your short-term overdue, increase in your short-term overdues, what's driving that? And, any color would be helpful.
Yeah, so definitely during the first quarter of 2017, we had an increase of non-past due but impaired loans, the bucket, so from 30 to 49 billion rubles. So the 19 billion increase was due to one customer, which was, let's say, that we put on the watch list, and in this category due to, let's say, the worsening of his financial situation. And it's a customer which is operating in the oil and chemical sector.
In where?
Operating in the oil and chemicals sector.
Okay. And the increase in overdues was also in that segment from the same borrower, or that is different?
No, it's different. And this on this bucket particularly, it's only one single exposure which will bring this this increase.
Okay, thank you very much.
We will now take our next question from Gregory Palsy from Pala Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Just on the operating lease income, can you just say something about, is this a recurring income that's going to be shown in the income statement, the 415? The other question, I guess many people could be interested in, is the share issue. If you could shed some light on how the talks are going, and when you still expect, maybe in late summer, share issue. Thanks.
We will start from the last question. So all we said before is actual, so we don't want to say anything else. In terms of your first question, could you please repeat, because we've heard it was about operating lease, but we didn't understand what the question.
Yes, I'm just. I thought that it's a new line item in the P&L. And I haven't seen it before. Maybe I'm wrong. And I apologize if I am. I just seen this 415 million there. I'm just wondering if that's going to continue coming in.
Yes, you're right. So, in fact, this operating lease income so was not in the first quarter in 2016 because it started from April 16, and it's revenue from the leasing of six commercial planes, Boeing planes. That mean we got as a collateral from a former customer of the bank. In fact, we got these planes signed a nine-year leasing contracts with one of the leading Russian airline, and so I mean from April 16 you can see in the P&L this revenue, so it's stable a source of income.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be coming in every quarter, this amount roughly.
Exactly, a fixed amount every quarter paid in dollars.
And it's in dollars. Okay. And can you just state your N11 as of May 1st? So it was 7.3% as of end of March, right?
7.3% as of 1st of May.
Mm-hmm. Or 7.3% as of start of May?
Yeah, 1st of May.
But it's Russian standard ratio, so... The impact of the 81 issuance that we did in April is not included yet, because we wait formally from the central bank to authorize us to include it in calculation. It's kind of formal procedure, but I mean, we should receive this before the end of the month of May.
Mm-hmm. And what was the N11 as of end of March or April 1st?
April 1st, 7.5.
Five.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you much.
This concludes the Q&A session. I would like to turn it back to the host for any additional or closing remarks.
Dear all, thank you very much for taking your time to be with us today on this call. Our investor relations team is at your disposal for any further questions which you might have. So please get in touch with us. Thank you very much, and we wish you a very nice rest of the day.
Thank you very much for the call.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.